Welcome to another round of IWMA, where we try to solve all the county's problems with waste. We are going to start this meeting off with the call to order and then a Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This one? It's 1:30.
Thank you all, and we'll do roll call.
Debbie Arnold.
I'm here.
Sheila Blake.
Here.
Charles Borbeau.
Here.
Lynn Compton.
Here.
Robert Enns.
Here.
Bruce Gibson.
Here.
John Hammond.
Here.
Jeff Heller.
Here.
Adam Hill. Jeff Lee.
Here.
John Pichon. Keith Storton.
Here.
Aaron Gomez.
Here. So before we get into public comment, we do have to pull item number 14 off the agenda just because of there was a clerical error as far as notification. So that will be placed back on, I'm assuming, next month's agenda. And now we've got public comment for items not on the agenda. We have one speaker, and that is Luke Dunn. 3 minutes. Remember, no clapping, yelling, booing, finger pointing. You can raise your hands up and go like this, though.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for this time. I hope you all are doing well. My name is Luke Dunn. I'm a SLO native. I'm here just for two quick things. The first one, I'm here to ask the board if you potentially could agendize a reading or I should say a study session readdressing the single bag use ban to something potentially more practical and aggressive. Practical meaning like an actual ban, and then aggressive meaning something like stricter guidelines. So anyway, however y'all would go about doing that. And then I also wanted to ask how you felt about potentially or what the possibility of moving this time slot to a later hour in the day, specifically something after typical work hours, maybe something modeling that of city council meeting hours, something of that nature. But those were it for now. I hope all of you are well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So we're going to move on to item number 5. That is going to be the director's report. I think some of those questions will actually be answered as we move forward with this meeting anyways. So.
Good afternoon. Just want to mention, as we're going through these items, our main focus here is to implement best practices, modernize our policies and procedures, and to maintain transparency. And you can see from your agenda packet being 500 pages that we're trying to give you all the information we have. So if there's anything you have a question about, please stop us and ask. So the first thing is a quarterly budget update. So this is the first quarter, July through September. And so all the expenses have hit, but not all the revenue has hit. So that's, to me, the main takeaway. And this is par for the course. We typically are lagging significantly behind as far as our revenue from the haulers and the landfills. And then I put that third column over where it says year to date. We should be at 25% on all of those, so that's where the revenue is lagging. But salary, services, and total expenses, most of those have hit. So in other words, we're below budget on those. And then in your package, you've got more detail that we actually have a $3.5 million carry forward. So, you know, overall, the budget is very healthy and good sorts. And next year, we'll address the concept of those reserves. And also in your packet is all the expenditures, the credit card transactions, and any contracts that we have outstanding. So are there any questions about the budget? Okay. And then just highlights of our meetings and communications. We always like to let you know who we're talking to and what's going on there. So we had a presentation with Cal Poly Engineering with a group of about 40 seniors and graduate students who are looking for senior projects, research topics, and they want to apply those potentially to the waste and recycling business. So we're working with them now to see if there's any opportunities. Nothing yet other than just the presentation, but all points lead to some students working with us. We also had the legislative task force meeting. Again, this is the solid waste group that proposes and comments on all legislation regarding recycling and solid waste issues in the state. I generally think they would support our board's view of items, which is to say they are proponents of most of the diversion activities. They would just prefer that we be able to dictate that at a local level and a local pace versus the state mandating it. So put the general topics of things that we've discussed already. Two things we haven't probably highlighted are solar panels and electric car batteries. So especially in California, with so many solar panels being on the market and that being kind of normal for the last 20, 25 years, those are reaching their life expectancy. And they're kind of in that gray area of, even though a manufacturer produced them, they've been on somebody's house or you've had the car for 10 years. It's your car, it's your house, so you're responsible for the disposal. So we're thinking this is an issue that we're already seeing some solar panels come to our HHW facilities, and there's still a question of really how toxic they are. Some are not, some aren't. And how do we test that? And then what's the expense of getting rid of them and trying to recycle them, and right now there isn't a market for those, either the electric car batteries or the solar panels, but that's a big issue on the horizon. We will try to address that in the strategic plan. And then WasteCon is one of the national conferences in Phoenix, and one of the good things to hear just nationwide was, I think all other states like California and the EPA are all focusing on a more holistic approach where we make products that are recyclable or renewable, and then we mandate that they have to be made of those products, kind of like newspapers were done 30 years ago. They have to be made of recycled content, so there creates a market for that. And so I think generally everybody realizes we can't rely on China and other countries to do our recycling. And then every month we're meeting with the haulers and informing them of issues. We asked them if they needed any assistance of their worst offenders as far as what people are putting in the wrong carts. And so we're doing an ad campaign on that. We also discussed options on the CRV, and there is a pending fee audit. So any questions or comments about public meetings or communication? Okay.
Seeing none.
And we're now to Patty.
So, as you guys know, that we had the one meeting for the CRV task force. Unfortunately, members from the board, thanks to scheduling difficulties, were not able to make it. Aaron Gomez did call in. You were on the line for the whole meeting, but he was up in Canada. Other members were not able to make it. I think Charles Brabeau, you were out of the country. And then Keith Storton had a prior engagement as well. That being said, because we wanted to move forward as fast as possible on this issue, we had the meeting anyway, brought in as many of the people from the community, the Systems Optimization Club, as well as a hauler into the room, and Mike DeMilo facilitated it to do a brainstorming session to see what we could do. In your agenda packet is the results of that meeting. You'll see there's a lot of different options. Maybe it's a mobile, maybe it's a stationary, maybe it's pushing legislative options, letters, whatever. You can see listed in that summary exactly what was brainstormed. That being said, we want to bring up the Systems Optimization Club so that they can talk about the research that they're doing on this project and give you some insights into how they're mapping out this county and layering the maps so that they can strategically plan where the best place is to put mobile or even stationary units.
Can I make a quick comment about that? I did get some more insight into why the problem has persisted. You saw from one of the graphics we showed before that several hundred of the replanet centers closed in 2016. and then a few more hundred closed this year. So it's obviously been a problem for a while. And the scoop on that was that under Governor Brown, there had been, since inception of the program in the 80s, there have been over 60 amendments to the bottle bill as it currently sits. And so Governor Brown wanted to start over. He said, we just stop fixing the problem and let's restructure the program. Well, Governor Newsom is not under that opinion, so he's more in favor of making the minor fixes along the way. So that's the reason the problem persisted until it got to where it is today.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Roxy Peterson. I'm a third-year industrial engineering student at Cal Poly, and thank you. I'm the project manager for the collaboration between the IWMA and SOC.
I'm Timothy Schwerman. I'm also a third-year industrial engineering student. I'm the assistant project manager on this collaboration.
I'm Gio Agostini. I am a third-year industrial engineer, and I'm doing the GIS mapping.
I'm Ben Herring. I'm a first-year industrial engineering major, and I am involved with the cost analysis for the project.
Basically, we just wanted to give you an overview of what the Systems Optimization Club does at Cal Poly. We are an entirely project-based club run through the Industrial and Manufacturing Engineering Department. Industrial engineering is primarily focused on the optimization of systems. So this club allows us to gain real-world experience and apply the skills that we learn in classes to the actual industry.
So with IWMA, after the recent replanet closures, San Luis Obispo County has had a shortage of CRV redemption centers. Right now there are currently 4 in various states of operation throughout the county. Our project is to identify more optimal locations, up to 3 optimal locations and possible operating plans to make sure that we can put forward a sustainable solution to the CRV redemption center issue. And doing that, we've been doing it. In order to identify those locations, we've been doing a lot of GIS mapping, which, Gio.
All right. So for those not familiar, GIS is Geographic Information Internet System. So it would be an internet map. You can place your points on it, calculate distance or time. For our purposes, we're going to calculate distance. Want to do it? All right. So our first layer is going to be all the retailers we were given. These are 60 retailers that were on our Excel file. Then we put our landfills. We found 5 landfills in SLO County. Then these are random points that we picked that could have a center. So I put one in Paso, one in Tascadero, Morro Bay, Pismo Arroyo area, and SLO. Then we click a calculate button from these 3 layers using traffic counts as population numbers. And the result was Tascadero, SLO, and Arroyo Pismo area. Then we zoom into each city. So for SLO, around the upper area would be the best location. For Arroyo Pismo, best location is that area. And then for Tascadero, around there. So in the future, we're going to look at properties that are available. And whatever's open around that area, that would be the best place to open the center.
Okay, so we have 3 potential options to implement this. The first would be just a permanent center, which would encompass property tax costs, maintenance, and utility costs as well. Or we could go a mobile center route, which would be a truck going around, but that would involve having to find a spot for the truck to be parked at, having to plan out the hours of when the truck is in operation, where it will be going on its route, etc. And or a reverse vending machine where the consumer puts their recyclables in to get the coupon or what have you out. So we're looking at each cost of each factor in all these processes, and we're looking for hiring paid employees or volunteers just to look at how this cost all manages out.
As some of you are probably aware, AB 54 was passed within the last month. It was signed by Governor Newsom, and it was to temporarily address the shortage of CRV redemption centers in the entire state. So this is not a permanent fix, but it was an interesting analysis for us in the potential that it could have for SLO County.
So part of AB 54 amended, so currently CalRecycle has a pilot program that is designed to encourage people to start CRV redemption centers. One of the main things of AB 54 was it amended the current pilot program. It changed the operating hours, so currently CalRecycle mandates that any new redemption center must be open for 30 hours a week. Under the new pilot program, that requirement would be reduced to 21 if you were to apply for a pilot program. And it also included some changes to the handling fee to make it more accessible for redemption centers to be eligible for the handling fee and then thus get that stream of revenue to help keep them open. And it also created a grant program for 5 of the pilot projects that the total grant would be worth up to $5 million. So if SLO County decided to apply to part of the AB 54 grant program, they could be eligible to get a chunk of that $5 million to help offset at least the initial costs of opening up these redemption centers. The grant still, though, has not been officially announced by CalRecycle. It's just part of the bill. It has to be announced within the coming, I believe it's about 50 days at this point. They're planning on announcing it. We were in contact with somebody at CalRecycle, the point contact for the pilot project program, and he said it would be announced sometime in December, so we're still awaiting exact details on the official announcement of that, but that is an option to consider going forward.
We've also spoken to the Office of Assemblymember Jordan Cunningham. His district director, Kayla Smith, is in full support of this. She put us in contact with the office of Bill Monning as well, and they are all for a quick and fast, if temporary, solution to this problem. So, again, I want to emphasize that AB 54 would not be sustainable. It's only extended until 2022, but it would give us time to find a sustainable solution.
Okay, are there any questions or comments for the students?
Hi, and thank you for coming. Have you checked with any other states as to whether they have a recycling program and whether it's working and whether they have any brilliant ideas that we could use?
There are very few other states that have any sort of CRV similar program. We have not been in contact with any of them as to what they are doing.
So most of the other states just have a whole bunch of empty bottles and cans that they put in landfill, or what?
If I may, there's about a dozen states that have bottle bills in place, but most of them are through the manufacturers, kind of a buyback system through them, and the state is not necessarily involved there. And California is the only place with these convenience zones and the redemption centers and this model. And that was why Governor Brown was saying we should probably switch to one of those models that's not so administratively cumbersome and requires these repeated fixes. But
okay, thanks.
Way over here. Oh, I see other lights. Sorry, Aaron. Do you have?
Go ahead.
I want to thank you guys for tackling this. It's amazing the Cal Poly students are coming to the rescue of something that is so kind of a program that was begun that should have never been allowed to deteriorate. But so I'm taking advantage of your research. So AB 54, it sunsets in 2022?
Yes.
Okay. So at that point, we're kind of back to square one unless some other piece of legislation comes through. So when you're working on this research of what can be done and how these other centers can be open, have you thought about that? So say you get grant money, or the county gets grant money, or however this is going to work, to open a few more of the centers here in the county, or the recycling, I'm asking them and whoever, part of the problem has been there's been no incentive, financial incentive for nonprofits or whomever wants to run them or have been running them, which is why they all went away, right? So on the horizon, anybody, yeah.
When we spoke to Michael Vandenberg at CalRecycle about this, he said a lot of people do show interest in it, but there is so much upfront costs to this that individuals don't normally have the financial capability to start their own redemption center, even if they want to. And so if that's something that the grant or the county could help with, you would probably generate a lot more interest.
And then the idea would be that they could sustain themselves once you got them up and running.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think an important thing to make is the difference between corporations and individual recyclers. I think with Replanet, they ran into a lot of things where they have a lot of overhead costs that are a result of them being a corporation versus individual recyclers. There's one in Steve's Recycling in Los Osos where they're not subject to those same type of overhead costs because they're not dealing with the same type of management structure and all of that stuff.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Heller?
I just want to say thank you. First. Thank you for coming. Great research and very much appreciate it. So after 2022, could you explain what you think the most sustainable model is? I'm not sure I picked up on all of that.
Again, our cost analysis is very much in the preliminary stages in conjunction with our location analysis. But ideally, I think we are looking for individuals who the county would be able to help start a lot of their startup costs with, and hopefully they would be able to sustainably run this, because there is money in having a redemption center, but it's just, it would take you a long time to refund your startup costs.
Okay, and then you said there is an outfit in Los Osos that is doing this now?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks a lot for coming. Appreciate it.
Can I go next? So one of the things I also learned is that the reason Replanet closed and the reason the economics are not working, that economy of scale just isn't there for their profitability. And CalRecycle has some additional funds. They just don't have the mechanism to be able to reward those individual sites. So one potential fix is to propose legislation to increase the amount that CalRecycle can reimburse. Right now it's a 0.7% multiplier, and the proposal is to go to 2-5% depending on the size of the operation. And so in other words, whether you're a small one or a larger group like Replanet, they would have, CalRecycle would have the flexibility to fund them to so that they could be profitable. The problem is that needs a sponsor. So right now, one of the options that we can consider is to be a co-sponsor with another agency like Alameda County's version of us, that they are interested as well, and use somebody like the California Product Stewardship Council to help draft the language. And then we get a sponsor like Senator Ting, who, and all this is in the works right now as we speak. So we may be able to donate potentially $50,000 would be the cost, with another partner or two, through someone else drafting the language and a sponsor at the Senate. And there's already a placeholder at the state, so that's already scheduled for agenda reviews and committee assignments, whatever. And so there's a potential for us to participate in that and get the language changed permanently so that the centers could reopen. That's something we'll probably, by next month, we should have some information on that for you as well as another option for us, other than trying to fund these centers or find somebody to operate them or something or get the grants. We may be able to sponsor legislation that gets a permanent fix in.
Mr. Jordan?
Thank you. Thank you very much for the presentation. I love seeing presentations like this. You make me feel very good about our future, so really appreciate it. Just a quick question. With AB 54 out there, we don't really know the details yet, what it sounds like. What is the process to either educate people on the process who might be interested in moving forward with something like this? Certainly we have people in the past that have provided services, but what is the plan to identify those people and provide the education to, the necessary education to get people to be incentivized to apply for this?
Michael Vandenberg has spoken with us. He said he is more than willing to come down to San Luis Obispo and discuss with you how San Francisco County is the only other county in the state who has applied for this pilot project so far. And so he said he'd be more than happy to discuss with you how they are going about it and how their process is going, since they would be a couple months ahead of us in this. But I do not know off the top of my head.
Okay. It seems like a worthwhile venture, but thank you very much.
Yeah, so just for clarity, as far as like what we're looking for out of next steps from this organization is we need to basically apply for this grant, correct?
We
need a resolution
yes, the
to
grant
do that.
Can't be announced, won't be announced until December, so nothing should be done before then. But he said that this board or city councils, the county board of supervisors, whoever would actually have the jurisdiction to do that needs to pass a resolution to say that they are in support of this to be able to go forward with it.
Okay. So do we need a, we basically need a resolution on next month's agenda?
Correct.
Okay.
And then forgive me to add just one more thing. Some other entities have applied for it, but they've been kicked back because they didn't have permanent facilities selected. So that's really important if we move forward with the Systems Optimization Club. They've given us these sites that we can move forward because you need that concrete information before the grant will be able to be released, correct?
Yes. Actually, two jurisdictions did or have applied to be a pilot project. One of them had to withdraw their application because they got pushback from the HOA once they actually found permanent locations, which was after they had submitted their application, and so they had to rescind it.
Thank you. Yes, thank you very much for the presentation. On the piece of paper that Patty had provided, the summary of actions, so there's still some substantial amount of research to be done. It looks like on most of the action items, it is the student club that is pursuing a lot of that. When do you anticipate, and this may be a question for Patty, having another meeting? You know, there's a lot of research to be done, and now sometimes that can go quickly, and sometimes that can be painful in terms of trying to reach out to the right people and that sort of thing. But when do we anticipate kind of the next meeting of the committee? Or
well, the problem is we need to get more data, and okay, we need to get to the financial data, and then Brooks is also working on another angle that he ran into at the conference, who's actually doing a center down in, forgive me, Orange County?
Orange County.
So getting the data from that, wrapping our heads around the data, coming back and getting ready to come into a meeting with information that will enable us to move forward, to make some decisions, to understand the topic a little bit better. So I don't have an answer for you.
Okay.
Hopefully within the next couple of weeks to a month, we'll have another meeting.
Okay. Brooks, you raised your hand.
Yeah, just to elaborate, so Orange County was going through a similar exercise like this. What would it cost them to fund a redemption center to be open 30 hours a week and, you know, be a replanet on behalf of the citizens? And their estimate that I learned last week was $250,000.
For one center or what?
For one center for 1 year. But I don't know the details, and the person that I got the information from is out of the office till Friday, so I won't know till, you know, a couple of weeks to report back to. And that's what I'm shooting for, a couple of weeks that we could have the next task force meeting, and we'll have that information, some more information from the students, and more information on that legislative action, whatever. So hopefully in a couple of weeks we can have a worthwhile meeting and get everybody up to speed. We'll go ahead and prepare the resolution, I think, for the grant for next month, and then any of these items that the committee brings forward to the executive committee.
And Brooks, you'd mentioned, you know, working potentially with Alameda County. I'm curious, and I think it's been mentioned by others on this board, that, you know, legislatively we're not a hugely influential force in Sacramento.
No.
And, you know, because the bulk of the legislators are from either LA area or San Francisco Bay Area. But I'm struck that, you know, with these closures all around the state, those areas have to be having this problem substantially. I'm wondering why there isn't more effort, you know, from an LA area jurisdiction or a Bay Area, another additional Bay Area jurisdictions to pursue legislative changes to help make this work better.
Yeah, and I could not understand that as well. As a legislative task force meeting last week, like I said, LA, San Diego, San Francisco, Sacramento, we're about as far along as anybody in trying to get a fix, other than I found out Orange County has done that estimate. But I do think legislatively, with Ting as being a sponsor, he's significantly active and has a lot of clout. And we would bring forward a fix that's already been approved by CalRecycle. So in other words, they would say they would support it, and that's why we would go ahead and put the money forward, and we would have an expert like the California Project Stewardship Council write it for us. So it's, you know, we would be as in strong position to get something passed. And mm-hmm. I think that would reverse our, you know, they wouldn't be looking at us. They would be looking at the sponsor and the language, and then it would have a good shot at passage.
Well, I'm wondering, and the students have had some contacts with CalRecycle, and you know, CalRecycle is the agency responsible for this. Normally, agencies put forth legislative fixes periodically to fix problems in programs they monitor. Are they actually doing that? Because, I mean, I think our sense is that over the past several years, you know, they let the program deteriorate and break, and they haven't really fixed it. But are they not actively putting together fixes and then shopping them around for a legislator to sponsor?
And I think that's more the politics of the changeover from the governor. So the current director of CalRecycle was appointed by Brown.
Okay.
And his appointment ends in December, and he still has not been reappointed. So I think there's a question of whether he's going to be reappointed. So I think he's a Brown supporter and probably in line with that regime. And Newsom is different, and like I said, to me, it's very political, and I don't know the ins and outs. I just know the facts that it's unusual for somebody not to be reappointed at this late stage and for them to not have made recommendations for fixes.
Okay, thank you.
So just from a logistical standpoint, so from what you're looking for us today, and thank you for the presentation, the well-thought-out platform and ideas of where to site locations already is a great step in that direction. So I guess from logistically, the guidelines are out for these grants, and so we know what the resolution needs to say, or perhaps a question for Mr. Minery is, do we as an organization have a blanket resolution that says staff can apply for grants within the best interest of the organization? Or maybe Patty recalls it. I know we've got it on some other jurisdictions. I don't know if this one does.
Yes, we do have a blanket resolution that allows us to apply for any CalRecycle grant already in place.
Okay, so we wouldn't need to have a resolution in December unless there's specific language in this particular grant, correct? So as long as there's consensus to move forward with this approach, I mean, I think staff has the ability and the authority to move forward with the application, especially seeing that this has been kind of one of our priorities of trying to come up with a fix. So I think thank you for the presentation, but I unless there's something to the contrary, I think move forward.
I think, though, they were referring to the becoming part of a push for a legislative change, were you not? In other words, putting our name on a legislative change is different than applying for a grant.
Correct.
So is that what you were referring to? You would need a resolution for?
Yeah, and I think our main goal today was to see if any of these options, you know, opening a center, trying to participate in it, having it mobile or stationary, legislative letters or legislative action, if any of these is off the table for you as a board. At this point, we're taking the shotgun approach and we're looking at all of them, and then as the costs and the probability of success come to the top, that's what we would bring back to you in the next month or so. So was there anything, any of these options that you don't want to consider at this point?
I would just like to clarify one thing. AB 54 does have a grant program, but the grant official details have not been released yet by CalRecycle. So we would have to wait until they officially release the details. They were saying mid-December for that. So the one thing we did hear from them was that part of the resolution would need to include support for like licensing and zoning for these facilities, which, from my understanding, may not be something this board has. So that would need to include, for a resolution supporting it, you need to include the city councils of the areas that we intend to serve on that resolution.
Yeah. And just one more comment. So to that end, if we looked at a place where replanted existed, it would probably already be in place. So that's something that may be quicker than we think.
All right, everybody good?
Okay. Splatter approach away.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. So are we done with your report? We're on to item 7, correct? Or are you?
Forgive me. In your packet, there are some educational and outreach update quarterly reports, but we'll take and showcase them at another meeting, actually one meeting at a time, so that we're not overwhelming you with a whole bunch of data in one meeting. So if you have any questions on those reports, I'd be happy to answer them. If not, we're going to move on to, if you don't mind, number 7, okay, the one-year Isuzu truck lease agreement extension.
Yeah, if we have no questions, we can move on to item 7.
Yeah. Okay, then. Again, this is the Isuzu truck lease agreement, and this is the truck that our HHW contractor, Stericycle, drives around to pick up batteries, fluorescents, paint, and mercury thermostats, sharps at all the retail take-back locations. So this truck is really vital to our programs, our ordinances, and our take-back programs. This is just a one-year lease extension. After this lease is up, we think that the truck will be officially done, and we'll have to figure out something else to do. Maybe Stericycle will be using their own vehicle, or vice versa. Maybe we'll have to budget in another vehicle for this program.
So it'll be done in the sense of it will no longer be working?
Correct. It's on its last legs.
I have no public comment. Does anybody have any questions that they have around this item? You look like you're ready for something.
I was just going to ask you a quick question. Is this lease was funded or is funded through who? Because what's the actual cost to the organization?
The original, I can't remember exactly how much this truck originally cost. I could look that up and email that to every single board member. But it was funded through grant funding.
Through grants.
Cal
okay.
Recycle.
Okay. Okay. Unless there's other questions, I'll make a motion that we approve the one-year extension of the Isuzu lease agreement and authorize the IWMA board president to sign such agreement.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Do we need a roll call for this?
Member Arnold?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Jeff Lee?
Yes.
And Member Gibson?
Yes.
Sheila Blake?
Yes.
Charles Borbo?
Yes.
Lynn Compton?
Yes.
Robert Enns?
Yes.
John Hammond?
Aye.
Jeff Heller?
Yes.
Keith Storton?
Yes.
Aaron Gomez?
Yes. And with that, it passes. Now we're on to the consent agenda. There are several items. Well, actually, there's not. If anybody has any questions on these, we have no public comment currently, so I will close public comment.
I'll make a motion that we approve the consent agenda. Items number 8, the draft minutes of the September 25th Executive Committee meeting, and item number 9, the draft minutes of the October 9th IWMA board meeting.
Second.
I'm sorry, who was the second?
Storton.
Thank you.
May I just make a comment since we're not, I was going to pull it, but I don't need to. I was not at the October 9th meeting, so I will vote on this, but just note that I was not present at that meeting. Are you ready?
Yeah, roll call.
Okay. Jeff Lee?
Yes.
Keith Storton?
Yes.
Debbie Arnold?
Yes.
Sheila Blake?
Yes.
Charles Borbo?
Yes.
Lynn Compton?
Yes, except on 9, recuse.
Robert Enns?
Yes.
Bruce Gibson?
Yes.
John Hammond?
Aye.
Jeff Heller?
Yes.
Aaron Gomez?
Yes. And now into the regular agenda. Item number 10, our annual audit, RFP ranking and selection.
Okay, just a little background. So we had not gone out to RFP on a regular enough basis. So we've created a system where we're doing that, and we are mirroring county policies. So we created a web page, and it's active and has all the things that in your packet that you approved back in September on the website and in the addendums as well. And then we knew that we would not get much activity as IWMA, so the county posted on its website, and then it went out nationally through their resources to all over the world, or all over the country. So we had significant advertising. And just to recall that these were approved back in September 12th meeting, and we released them on the 13th, and the response, they had 1 month to respond, or 5 weeks, and so they came back, and we reviewed them. And so how this works is we've already brought this contract, which is the Slo County template. You approved this back in September. So if you need a refresher, it should be in your packet as well, but it is the standard contract. And then you've approved the RFP. So what we're asking for each of these three items is the same, that you approve the ranking after we reviewed the proposals, and then you allow the executive director and the attorney to implement this contract, and then the board president would sign it. So it would not come back to you a third time. You've read the doc, you've read the RFP, you've had the contract, you've seen the ranking, and all the proposals are in your packet, by the way. And so it's a little bit of shorten the process and not have to bring it back a third time. And so the first of the three is the annual financial audit, and this is just our finances, how we do business at IWMA, and there are 8 tasks associated with that, but we just want a CPA firm that follows general accounting standard practices, and they test our internal controls and review all our financial practices, and then let us know if we're doing it correctly and if we need to make any changes to that. And so it's a 3-year contract, and so we got 2 responses, and those were CLA and MLH, and there's their average score and their cost. And so that is the ranking, 1 and 2. So how it would work is if you authorize this, we will choose to implement that contract with firm number 1. If we cannot negotiate that contract, if they reject it, then we would go to firm number 2. So are there any questions about the process? Or yes, sir.
Mr. Bubba?
Yeah, I was just curious, Brooks. I see on the score sheet that you were one of the scorers on this. Who is Karen McCoy, who apparently was the other scorer on the committee?
Karen McCoy is our...
Okay, I get that, Karen. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
And she has 30, I'm not going to say, quite a few years of experience in doing this kind of work with a fire agency in San Bernardino County. So she's gotcha. Very qualified.
And I see...
Riverside, excuse me.
In both your ratings, the only difference was the cost factor. You know, that was the only place where you gave it.
Generally, we thought they were very qualified firms, right, and could do the work. Just one was
so it's really 18.5 versus 21.5.
Correct.
The cost. Okay. Got it. Thank you,
Mrs. Jordan.
Thank you. As part of the process, it looks like it's optional for the oral interviews. What was the deciding factor, and how do we determine if we are or are not going to use those through these processes?
We determined that it was not necessary. They were both very qualified firms, and it just came down to price for us. So we figured if we couldn't negotiate with one, we would just go to the second one. We didn't. Their qualifications are solid.
Okay. Thank you.
Just a quick confirmation that both of these costs are within the budget allocated for this activity this year?
Well, we have $30,000 in the budget, but we anticipated that it would be around $10,000 a year. Okay. So it will be covered in this year, but it's more money than we anticipated going forward. I think this probably has to do with the fact that we had pending audits and prior business.
Okay.
They're expecting it to be time consuming.
And who was our auditor previously on the annual basis?
Glenn Burdett.
It was Glenn Burdett. Okay. And
yes,
they did not
Glenn
apply.
Burdett.
Good.
No more questions. I have no public comment. So we can close that. And if anybody wants to make a motion,
move staff's recommendation.
I'll second.
Yep. Got a race for second.
You got it.
Do we need a roll call for this, too, or can we do a voice vote?
Voice vote is fine.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Can I clarify who the second was, though, please?
You picked Jennifer.
I know, I do.
I think Hammond got it.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, number 11. This sounds very similar, but it's slightly different. Revenue audit RFP ranking and selection.
Correct. They all follow the same process that I just mentioned. This one is for the solid waste fee audit or revenue audit. So our finances are derived from the $3 a ton tip fee at the landfills and the 2% of the general hauling revenue from the licensed or franchised haulers in the county. And so they submit those payments to us, and we have not audited those records to ensure that they are over or underpaying us. And so we thought it was a good idea to hire a firm skilled in looking at those records and telling us if we're doing it properly and they're doing it properly. So we had budgeted for them to go back 3 years. And so we put 16 to 18, depending whether it's fiscal year or calendar year. We'd still work that out. And we put $40,000 in the budget. And so, again, it was posted nationally, a lot of exposure. It went to all these different types of accounting firms, research firms, audit services, financial firms, and economic development. It went to everybody, and we got one response. It was from R3. They're a firm here in California. Very qualified firm, excellent credentials. I have known their work in the past, and they had scored high and were well within our budget, so we're recommending we go with them. And we did contact the county procurement official, and he said this would be the path that he would choose. He would not post it again, being that it was nationally advertised. He would go ahead and go with this.
You both knocked just a couple points off for proposed plan or approach. Not a lot, probably not significant, but is that anything you would talk to them about changing their plan or approach? I mean, without screwing up the process of the
No, whenever I talked to them, it made sense to me that their strategy was probably a little better. So this was my first writing a proposal of this type. So,
got it. Thank you.
Aaron, comment. Yeah. I mean, our city used R3 before and had very good results with them, too. So I think they're a good choice, even though they are the only one. But I think that would be a good one anyway. So
okay, good.
Thank you.
Good to hear.
Cool. All right, no more questions. No public comment. Closed public comment. And I will entertain a motion.
I'll move staff's recommendation.
Second.
Moved and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. On to strategic plan RFP ranking and selection.
Again, the third one, this was to capture the board's wishes as far as what we want as a vision and mission, and then identify what changes are happening in the market, and then give us where options are for ability to improve and what our unmet needs are, and then develop a strategic plan based on that information. And so the contract term was for 2 years. We had estimated $150,000. And so, again, it was posted for 5 weeks. And we received 6 proposals. They are all in your packet. But we ranked the 3 highest here, HF&H, Cascadia, and Tetra Tech. And those are the score average. We had a panel. This one we had a larger panel. President Gomez served on it, as well as the county purchasing manager and the solid waste director for the town of Santa Maria. So we kind of had myself as representing the agency, as well as the elected official, procurement expert, and another solid waste expert review these. So we thought it was a very strong evaluation committee. And there is the ranking. Again, we would go from 1 to 2 to 3, depending on if they approve the contract.
Yeah, Mr. Storton?
I have a couple questions. Thank you. Whoever score number one was, man, they were tough. I don't know if you're disclosing who is responsible for whatever number, but I was just...
Yeah, it doesn't have our names, but it has the ranking. There you go. Okay.
In looking at some of the documentation, it looks like HF&H came up with the highest score. I noticed some of the... some of them had local vendor preference paperwork attached and risk assessments. This vendor did not. I didn't see it in the packet.
Yes, I'm sorry. It did have it.
Oh, okay.
But it did not make it in the packet.
Do you know what the response was to the
Yes, I reviewed it myself. Yes, they had no, they did not claim local preference, but they had no outstanding, the risk came back 100%. They had no outstanding issues.
Okay. And then it's always amazing when you put out a number, dollar amount, how close people can get to that number. But exactly. The fourth ranking was SCS, which was 83,000, which was significantly different with a score of 85, which is a B plus. I mean, I was a B plus kid in college, so I was pretty happy with that. But can you kind of talk about that difference and what?
Yeah, that was confusing for everyone on the panel that you could do the amount of work to the level we think it should be done for that amount. So we took it to mean that they may not have understood all that it entailed to do this project and the amount of time commitment it would take, because we expected them to individually interview 13 board members and develop language to help you select your vision and mission, and then research everything that's happening in this county and put that packet together, and then look at the financial impacts of that, and then survey you and come up with a final strategic plan. It's a good 9 to 12 months worth of work. So we did not understand how they could accomplish it for that amount.
And on for this particular one, because we had so many options, and this is a big deal moving forward, is there any consideration to having an oral interview process with the top?
Again, with these three firms here, knowing that they have a track record of success in doing this type of work, we brought it down to just their methodology of how they addressed the eight tasks, and their what they put down in paper was well enough for us to be able to make a decision without having to do the interview.
Okay.
There's also a consideration that in order to schedule the interview with the panel and having them come in, that would have delayed it probably another month. And since we thought that these three were very qualified, and we knew that they would probably score well on the oral interview, we would just go based on how they presented their case in the addressing those eight tasks.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Rubel?
Yeah, I had a question. I had noted as well the reference to local preference. What constitutes
that? That was in the paperwork from Slo County, so I put it in there, and I left it up to you as the board. To make
okay,
that.
So there's not a set, like, you know, if it were a cost thing, there's.
We don't have any policy that says okay. We have to do that. I just left it in there to be transparent.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? All right, no public comment. Close that. And
I'm sorry, how long again? You mentioned a long period of time, and, you know, there'd be interviews with each board member, et cetera. What kind of a time frame to a completed product?
We hope they will have it done, and that's what we expressed, about 9 months.
9 months.
But they would be on with us for 2 years.
Okay.
Because one of the components we want to put in here is a measurement to evaluate, are we successful at what we're doing? Is this working? And not just say we have a program. We want to measure where we started, you know, have a benchmark at the beginning and the end and see if it was successful. So we want them to stay with us for 2 years and help us evaluate it at the end to see if we're doing a good job.
Great. That was that so 2 years that flew through me. All right. Thank you for the explanation.
Yeah. We don't want to just spend $150,000 and say we did a plan. We want to come back to you and say we had this much of this and now we have less, or we have more, or we've saved money or something.
You mean you want it to be effective?
There you go. Thank you.
That's great. When I'm spending that much money, I want it to be effective, too.
Absolutely. We want to get our money's worth.
All right. Anybody want to make a motion?
Did you close that?
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, item number 13, IWMA benefits package.
Thank you. And I apologize for item 14. We were kind of taking these in conjunction, but we had a little typo in moving it from the executive committee to the board agenda, and we didn't get the language right. So we're punting on number 14. Just some background here. What we wanted to do is actually solidify our interpretation of what our benefits package is and have that in writing and have the board approve it. And it goes back to this policy that says that we would mirror county benefits, but knowing that no one really wants to have the issue and cost of the pension program. So, and then looking at the accounting position, again, we had said several indications that we should have an accountant. I believe it's the way to go so that we are able to do our job well and not have any problems with our budget. So we compared the benefits of the county and the bargaining units 7, 8, 9, which were most closely, the county said was most closely related to what we do, and showed their benefits with ours and looked at the impact of that. And that was the question that came up last month, is how would that compare? And so in the current budget, there would be no impact. We would not have to increase the budget. It's partially due to the fact that we have been understaffed, and the staffing that we have used has been through a temp agency, and we are not paying benefits, so we're saving a little money there. And also from the fact that our HR side of the budget has had some cushion in it over the years, and that's something we will address down the line to make it more with our actual costs. But we've put more money in there than we've needed. That's been the general rule. And then the retirement cost savings is about 5.2% a year, or $21,000 a year. So if you project out for 5 years, it'd be about $100,000 savings. And the big issue is that these are contributions that the employee and the agency make into retirement accounts, 457, 401k. So there's no guarantees and there's no future liability, nothing unfunded. It is paid for. So down the line, it should be even more savings, because you know some of the pension programs are not meeting their goals. So I think the budget impact is minimal, and it is a cost savings, and we're recommending that you go for it. There's more detail in your packet and where we actually ran the numbers, and I could get into that, but if you need any more detail, let me know.
Got any questions?
Well, I just want to make sure, because we went over this last time, so I'm sure I'm satisfied. But so the amount that the agency is putting towards retirement contribution, is that 12%?
Yeah, it's roughly 12%, or the maximum that's allowed by the IRS.
Okay, right.
Right. And the way I ran these numbers was I took the absolute maximum or most conservative approach. I assumed every employee was paid at the max. Every employee did the maximum contribution. Every employee got a 3% COLA every year. You know, so it probably will be less than this, because all those things will not happen. But I just wanted to make it absolutely worst case scenario as far as cost.
Okay, thank you.
All right, I'll open up to the public. Seeing none, I will close it to the public. And now back to us.
I'll make a motion that we approve the employee benefit package as presented.
Second.
Moved and second. I can still stick with the voice. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? That has passed. Skipping item 14, we are now on to item 15, approved board meeting schedule for the year of 2020. Also known as next year.
Yes. So these are the dates. It just follows, again, it's the second Wednesday of each month. And so if there's major problems with these, please let us know. We'll be glad to reschedule around your calendars. But this is what it looks like for 2020. And assume everybody's here in December and we don't need to have a question of a quorum because we're not towards the end of the month.
We had discussion, you know, as we went through our troubled times, we increased the frequency of the meetings, where we started with special meetings and then increased the frequency. We decided to do monthly, but we're not going to have monthly meetings just to have monthly meetings. I mean, if we reach a point of stability and stuff, we're going to go, we're going to either cancel some meetings or go back to every other month meetings?
Yeah, it's basically at the board's choice at that point, right, whether or not we want to go back to that or we want to cancel a few when we know that there is, right, not a heavy agenda, you know, however we want to play it. Obviously, we're still working through the CRV issue, so right. I think we're not quite at the stable, from my perspective, we're not at that stable point, but certainly once we do, yeah.
Right. Thank you.
And I would agree. I think this getting the strategic plan underway would be our first priority, because that's going to line up with some of your goals will be solidified in that. And so if we can get that underway, then we can look at the year in more detail.
No more questions. Open up to public comment. I will close it to public comment. And now back to the board.
The staff's recommendation for the meeting schedule.
All right. We got a first and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Passes with a full house. And now we will be going to closed session.
Public comment on closed session.
Does anybody have any public comment on closed session? Nobody? How about now? No? Okay. The closed session is pursuant to Government Code 94956, conference with legal counsel pending litigation, Knutson versus Slo County, IWMA. Still none? Okay. Closing public comment. All right, we are back in session. Do you want to report out on closed session, Mr. Minery?
The report out of closed session is no reportable action.
All right. Thank you. Does anybody have any future agenda items or member comments? Seeing none, we are now adjourned.